This is BookCareers.com Live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of BookCareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello, and welcome to episode 28 of BookCareers.com Live. This week, I want to talk about blogging. If you want a job in publishing or the media, very often you will have people tell you that you must blog, that you must demonstrate your writing, you must write book reviews or some such to engage with the publishing industry. Likewise, I've been to many career talks where I've heard others on the panel recommend that you must have a blog and that you need to be visible by demonstrating your writing in order to get a job. This is not necessarily the case. Blogs are not the be-all and end-all of getting a job. Frequently, I read blogs that have been linked from candidates' CVs and I've been horrified at what is at the end of the link. Badly written blogs about personal goings-on. The proofreading and errors are such that if anything, your blog could be working against you. For some reason, I always seem to click on the blogs where a graduate has misspelt their name or the name of their university. These are the sorts of errors that will kill your job prospects instead of helping you land the job you so richly want. Then there are the blogs that haven't been updated for ages, have pages missing, or 404 errors, or a terrible design. All of these things can count against you. The same applies to vlogging or YouTubers' videos. I've seen candidates publicising their YouTube channel of book reviews, the whole purpose of which was to show off their video editing skills. Yet the video was edited so poorly it was unwatchable. Also, if I read another blog, this is about me leaving university and finding a job, I will scream. That is not a blog. That is a journal and needs to be kept private and hidden under your mattress, particularly if you're mentioning names of companies or people and not being very complimentary. Yes, some people might find these blogs interesting, but constantly writing from a position of naivety when there is so much professional help out there will not help your job search at all. You should also never be detrimental to someone who has turned you down for a job in a blog. To be perfectly honest, I would not recommend that you even blog about the interview. From a potential employer's perspective, why on earth would I want to invite a candidate to interview if I know they're going to blog publicly about it? Companies like many things to be kept confidential. So if you get a job and write about your employer in a personal way or share information and events that are not public and without first seeking approval or permission, you might find you are not an employee of theirs for very long. If you're determined to write a blog to help you demonstrate your skills, here are some guidelines. 1. Do you need a blog? The purpose of writing a blog may be to evidence your skills and experience. Is this something you need to do on your own? How often do you propose to update and maintain your blog? Would it be better for you to volunteer to write guest posts for somebody else's blog or website? 2. Writing about "This is about me leaving university and finding a job" is not a blog. It's a journal and should be kept private to you, particularly if you're discussing job applications or interviews, albeit anonymously. One candidate who was blogging was in dire need of advice because they were blogging about everything and everyone who had contacted them and not in a complimentary way. If you were an employer, would you feel encouraged to contact them and risk being blogged about too? 3. Aside from which, blogging from a position of naivety can later prove extremely embarrassing and not something you wish to hold up as an example of your work, which is really the whole point of having a blog. 4. If you're going to blog, make it about a subject you know that interests you. Perhaps you're always going to the theatre or nightclubs or watching a sport or visiting lots of cafes and coffee shops. These types of blogs usually work well because they're not about you, but they demonstrate your writing and editing skills and enable you to build a following. 5. Do proofread your blog and check for errors. Ensure the grammar and sentence construction is correct and set your own house style and be consistent throughout. Choose one style and stick to it. Check and double check everything, and this includes the spelling of your name. 6. If you're referencing your blog on your current CV as an example of your work, do ensure that your last blog post wasn't 3 years ago. 7. Don't expect the person interviewing you to have read your blog, but if you've linked your blog on your CV, then ensure that it is a blog you are proud of. Whatever course of action you decide to take, do try and see it from an employer's perspective and think the blogging process through. There are no real case studies this week, but only I want to congratulate an awful lot of clients who have started jobs this month or who are starting jobs next month. Just well done to you all. I'm very, very proud of you and I hope you'll be very happy. The interview question of the week is, has anyone ever disappointed you in your working life? From an interviewer's perspective, this can be a good question to ask if you feel that the candidate's expectations of a role may be far higher than the role itself. Say you're recruiting for an assistant and they seem far more ambitious than that. However, this question is mainly used to find out if indirectly there have been any conflicts in a candidate's previous employment. This can be helpful for an interviewer, particularly if you know that they worked at a publisher who has a reputation for being difficult. When the candidate responds, look and listen to the speed at which the candidate answers this question. Do they seem forthcoming with an answer or look embarrassed as if they've been found out? If they answer yes to this question and give an example, will there be any similarities in their new role if you decide to employ them? How are they phrasing a negative situation? Are there other things you can read into their answer that would indicate that they are the right candidate for you? From a candidate's perspective, this is a trick question of which you should be very wary. The interviewer is looking for negatives both in what you talk about and how you talk about it. It is perfectly normal for you to ask for further clarification before answering this question, such as, what do you mean? But don't be afraid to answer no or with an, I don't think so, I've been relatively happy wherever I've worked. What you don't want to do is to fall in the trap and use the interview as a confessional and disparage either a previous employer or a previous boss, no matter how badly they might have behaved. This episode is copyrighted material which has been extracted from How to Job Search in Book Publishing by Suzanne Collier, due to be published in September 2019. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers or on Twitter at BookCareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.